It is time for our parenting slot. David Carey is back at base. David, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sean.
First question, David, is a really sad one. My nephew turned 16 in August. He moved to Ireland from Scotland with his mum, who is my sister, in August, against his wishes. His dad died suddenly last April. My nephew was in hospital in Scotland a couple of times for asthma since February. He started school in Dublin in September, but only attended 10 days this term. A week after school started, he was hospitalised with appendicitis. He's full of anger and rage, is abusive to his mother. A few days he pretended to go to school, two of which he was found hiding. He's just staying in bed all day. His only interest is his Xbox, which he only gets to play with now if he goes to school or counselling. He only had his phone and Wi-Fi and TV after 6 p.m. He's seen a psychologist twice and we hope he will go again, although he refused some appointments. He says he wants to go to school and enjoys it when he does go. He has made some friends and is happy nearly every evening and full of good intentions, but in the morning just can't go to school and stays in bed all day. He says he's scared and can't articulate more than that. My sister is at the end of her tether, furious with him, yet sorry for him too. We thought withdrawing Xbox privileges was correct, but maybe not. In the past, my sister did not follow through on ultimatums. My sister is considering sending him to Scotland for a week at Christmas to see his friends and partner of his late dad, but this may make things worse when he returns. Or will he refuse to return? Should we take him out of school till he's ready? Any advice is very welcome, as they are both in serious pain.
Very sad story, Sean. Very sad story indeed. A confused 16-year-old, multiple upsets, trauma in his life, separation from all his friends and all his familiars in Scotland, death of his father, hospitalization for asthma, appendicitis. How much worse can it get? And the response very often in these situations is punish, 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 anger, removal of privileges. That will get you absolutely nowhere. This boy needs help. He needs someone to listen to him and understand him. I cannot answer the question about whether or not he will refuse to return to Dublin. Who knows? What's the point of sending him back to be with his friends for a week, back to his familiar, and then having to come back to Ireland again? With dad's partner. We don't know what sort of relationship he has with his late dad's partner. There are a lot of unknowns here. This boy clearly needs some help. He's obviously in great distress, anger, lashing out everywhere. The most immediate target, of course, is the mother with whom he resides. As difficult as it is, it's best if she doesn't take it personally and recognize that all of this is his cry for help, really. I think the best course here is to strongly encourage and insist, if you can, that he continue to engage in counseling, even if it isn't weekly, at least fairly regularly, with his psychologist, because developing a relationship with an adult who understands, who cares, and who will listen will be very helpful to him. It will take time. Should he refuse to return to school, I'm sure the psychologist, if in fact he or she develops an understanding of the boy and believes that anxiety and or depression and confusion are interfering with his ability to benefit from an education, they can write a note, a letter, and the boy can be eligible for home tuition, which is 10 hours a week. It's not a lot, but at least it provides some minimal continuity in his education. I think what this boy needs more than anything else, Sean, is understanding, a listening ear, and less punishment. I know everyone's upset. Everyone's pulling their hair out, fearful for him and his future. The education and whether or not he avails of it is the least important item right now. What's more important is his emotional stability, Sean.
Yeah, I as you said, there's many. We can't answer all the questions just based on what we got in. But one assumes that his dad died. He's grown up in Scotland, and then at the age of 16, he's taken from there, and it's everything he knows.
Yes.
So would it hurt him more to go back for that week, do you think, or is it best to kind of let him get used to living in Ireland for a while?
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about that. He hasn't been here all that long, has he? And so it may be too jarring for him. I don't know. I don't know the boy, and I don't know the mom, and I don't know what's back there in Scotland and how he's been able, if at all, to maintain his relationships. We know nothing about the relationship with Dad's partner. So there are many imponderables there. I suppose, erring on the side of caution, it's probably better to keep him here and stabilize him here rather than send him back again where he will feel comfortable, make new temporary attachments, and then have to leave them again.
And he may well resent his mother for having brought him from Scotland.
Well, I'm sure he already does. Yeah. Moves at age 16 are traumatic under the best of circumstances. His move clearly was not under the best of circumstances. And he has had nothing but upset after upset ever since that move. So very, very tragic circumstances here. The good news is boys like this, and it could be a girl just as well, can be helped and often are helped when they enter into a therapeutic relationship with an adult that they can trust and whom they feel listens to them and isn't there just to stamp out fires, but looks at the deeper issues, the confusion, the anger, the loss of relationships, and all that he has endured, most in particular, of course, his own bodily health. He's had several hospitalizations and appendicitis. That's all very scary stuff. How much can a young brain at age 16, just turning in August, really deal with and comprehend? Overwhelming, I think.
My son, age 9, is really worrying us. He ran in front of traffic this morning, nearly causing an accident. It is the second time in a week he's refused to go to school until his counsellor there was called to intervene. His mother has taken him to see the GP, where she was told that she needed counselling to learn coping strategies. I'm terrified that either my son or my wife will have an accident and it will be too late to get real help.
Well, so there's advice been given here to the mom, at least. Go see someone and develop coping strategies. I don't know what that's about. Clearly, probably what's more at stake here is more than just coping with the child's behavior, but again, trying to find out what is causing this level of distress. I'm concerned about something. He ran in front of traffic this morning, nearly causing an accident. Are we dealing with a boy who has significant impairment in impulse control and has been like this for a long time, just acts without thinking? Or is this a new and sudden behavior which occurred for no apparent reason with no apparent stimulus? That's a very dangerous kind of symptom. I'd like to know more about that. He's refused to go to school until his counselor there was called to intervene. How lucky he is to be in a school where there's a counselor.
Yeah.
I think it's time for mom and dad to go speak with the counselor, speak with the classroom teacher, speak with the principal of the school and find out exactly how he's adjusting there. I'd want to know more about his impulse control and frustration tolerance. I'd like to know more about what's happening at home with him. So I think what I would advise these parents to do is go get more information as soon as possible, certainly before Christmas. And to, in particular, ask yourself some questions about this incident of running in front of traffic. Was it a one-off thing, or is there a clear pattern of him being helter-skelter, pillar to post in terms of his level of energy and acting without thinking? That points to other directions. So there could be a lot at stake here. It certainly needs more investigation, and a lot more questions need to be asked and answered.
Given that the GP said that the mother also perhaps needs some help with coping strategies, could it be one's making the other worse, if you know what I mean? You know, sometimes you see this, a child goes to run in front of traffic not thinking, and then the parent stops him, but then the parent completely freaks out at them, which maybe isn't necessarily the best thing to do in that situation.
Yeah, of course that can happen, and I think the GP perhaps, who I would assume knows the child and the mother as well as the father probably best, is picking up on some things here that are causing him or her concern. And a referral to counseling usually points to more than just how to cope with the child, but more often how to manage the child and or understand the child in a more in-depth sort of way so as to facilitate better behaviors. It's probably very good advice. Now, I don't know why it's just mother who was told to go. I don't know if these parents live together. We don't know that. Generally speaking, when we have a boy like this whose behavior may have changed suddenly, we want to talk to both parents, not just one. So here again, we're left with little bits and pieces missing, as is so often the case. Back to GP, referral to counseling, follow through. If both parents are in a relationship or at least friendly enough that they can attend together, that's the best way forward. Get to school, talk to teacher, talk to counselor, talk to principal, gather more information about how the boy is behaving, adjusting, and learning in school, and you will be much better positioned to help this 9-year-old.
Now, a couple of texts from listeners in regard to that distressed 16-year-old. One person says, a mother needs to allow him to have friends over, and she needs to let his new home have good memories. So far, he has memories of illness and anger since moving here. That needs to change.
I think that's a good idea. That's at least part of the solution, if he'll accept it.
Someone else, though, says maybe if the late father's partner agrees, that young man could be given the choice if he'd like to stay in Scotland with her to finish school. That would give him the opportunity to grow and blossom as a young man, the main reason being that he is given a choice. It is his decision. Trust the young man, even if it's difficult to do so.
Well, there are issues around legal guardianship in this situation, so I don't think it's quite as easy as that, Sean.
We're coming today from Grow HQ in Waterford for the launch of the Energy Get Ireland Growing Fund. David Carey still with us for our parenting slot. Next question is this. My daughter is a very particular 11-year-old. She needs to have everything a certain way and has very high standards for herself. She has her room in a certain way, and we are not allowed to move anything, down to the way she arranges her toys, her shoes on the rack, her clothes, etc. She has to sit a certain chair at dinner, and if her sister was to be in her chair, she would have a meltdown. I'm leaning towards OCD tendencies, as she is particular about which plate and cutlery she uses and tells me how she wants the dinner on her plate. She hates eating out because they cook where she can't see them and is always worried about what will come out of the kitchen. Her teacher says she spends time in the morning setting out her table with her books and pencils with great care. I'm worried what will happen when she's not able to control these things herself. When she gets to secondary school, she'll be moving desk with most classes. Are there things I should be doing now to help her change her behaviour slightly? Should I bring her to see someone? We're trying to treat this delicately, as I know she won't be able to handle any drastic change.
Far too much pussyfooting around this 11-year-old. She's becoming a tyrant, dictating how food is put on her plate, what chair she sits in, allowing no one to touch anything in her room. This is not good, and this has to be stopped. What do you need to change? You need to stop kowtowing to all of this sort of behavior and start subtly taking a bit more control. Is it OCD? I don't know. It's hard to tell. OCD, we don't diagnose until it considerably interferes with the major life responsibilities of the individual. At her age, her major life responsibility is her education, so being quite meticulous about how her learning resources are aligned on her desk is a good skill to have, and it's something that most teachers and most adults wish more children had. I don't like this business allowing her to dictate every single thing that happens in the home about which plate and cutlery she uses, etc. I know a lot of parents of children on the autism spectrum, and I'm not in any way suggesting this child is on the spectrum, but I know a lot of them do not comply with the child's obsessive need for routine all of the time. They subtly and occasionally change things in the hope that the child on the spectrum will learn to cope more effectively with minor changes. And I think that's what's called for here. No child of any age should tyrannize an entire family with all these diktats. It's not healthy for the child. It's not healthy for the family. I think I'd like to see some changes made. It's much too early to assume anything about secondary school and how she'll adjust to the numerous transitions from one teacher to another and from one subject to another. I don't think you have major problems here. You certainly don't seem to have them in the educational aspect of her life. I'd like to know if she has friends and how she copes with them when they come to visit in the family home. And in particular, I'd like to know how she copes with life in her friends' families when she goes to visit them, if indeed she does, because she surely can't be dictating to friends' mommy how food is put on her plate. So there are things that need to be looked into here and scrutinized much more deeply before we go down the OCD route, and most in particular, before we go down the, oh my God, she's going to have massive problems in secondary school, and right now, because I think she may have all these problems, she needs some counseling or therapy. Make some changes. You say you need to proceed delicately. Well, therefore, make your changes delicately. Observe. Watch to see what happens. Give it 6 months. Your eyes and your ears will tell you a lot. There is perhaps, and I do not know for sure, a lot more adaptability than is being drawn out from this child because everyone is just complying with all her demands. Complying to all the demands of a child is not a healthy thing, and it's not a productive parenting style.
So I suppose, inevitably, even if they change things subtly, there will be the occasional wobbly.
But of course there's going to be wobblies, because she's used to getting her way. And therefore you deal with the wobblies. If she refuses to sit at the table, then unfortunately she's going to have to go a little bit hungry. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. I do not think this is a particularly productive style of parenting for a child like this, because it's only reinforcing more and more her need to control everyone and everything around her. Now, if in fact it is a form of OCD, you won't make any progress at all. But I'd like to see you give it some time, and I'd like you to proceed delicately, slowly, baby steps, and observe and see what happens.
Let's not talk about this particular child, but generally speaking, then, at what age would they be when you can make a confident diagnosis that someone has OCD?
Well, it can be made at this age, but we look for more evidence than what's appearing in this question from the parent. We look for things like counting rituals, like obsessive fears. We look for significant disruption in aspects of the child's life, because OCD, by its very definition, must cause significant disruption. That may mean in sleeping. That may mean in bathing, toileting habits, serious difficulties with eating. Certainly, changes in school routine will become incredibly difficult when there's OCD at stake. Child may be late for school because they may need to brush their hair 114 strokes in the morning. I could think of thousands of possible signs and symptoms that would make me concerned that it's genuinely obsessive-compulsive disorder. I don't hear that right now. So therefore, my advice, and others may disagree, but my advice is to proceed along the lines I suggested.
Right. Okay. Another question, question we've got many times before. My 3.5-year-old is going through a stage of biting. He's bitten me and his mother several times. He has a younger brother who's 9 months, and he had threatened to bite him too. We talked about this with the lady in the creche when this phase started to keep an eye on him, and she said he has bitten a child in creche too. We put him on the bold step, take away his toys, and scold him for being so bold. We tell him people do not bite each other, but he doesn't seem to get it. We don't know how to stop this behavior. Please help.
We've had this one loads of times. Yeah. The manic biter, the shark in the family. Putting him on the bold step may or may not be useful. Don't go too heavy on the punishment paradigm. I think, and I've said this so many times, people are probably tired of listening to it. You need to observe. You need to try to discover under what circumstances, where, when, what time of day, what context, with whom the biting behavior emerges. Because once you can discover what the triggers might be, you can head him off at the pass and prevent the bite from taking place by using distraction and by beginning, when he's a little older, because he's only 3.5, to teach him better ways to manage his frustration. Essentially, this is a small problem because it doesn't seem to be a huge enormous issue of biting, but it's happening enough to annoy people. This seems to be essentially a problem with self-regulation and frustration tolerance. I'd like to know what's frustrating him. Is it because he doesn't get away his way? Is it because some child will not share a toy with him that he wants? I don't know. This is where we observe and then we make plans. Generally speaking, for young children like this, we get down to eye level, we have a stern expression on our face, and we say, no biting. You may not bite. Here is your rubber ball. You can bite your rubber ball, you can bite your rubber ducky, you can bite your cuddle toy, but you do not bite other people. Even that, by the way, is far too many words for a 3.5-year-old.
It sounded like a country and western song there, the way you started off with that.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Bite your rubber ball, you can bite your rubber ducky.
Exactly, exactly. And if you play it backwards, the rubber ball comes back to life and so does the ducky, so...
This is a similar question to the one we had about the 16-year-old. I have a 17-year-old who has periods of what I call panic attacks, and they can last days with low self-esteem. He's been missing school a lot, so I took him to the doctor, and they started him on Prozac. Within 2 days, he seemed better, but flat. He didn't like the way he felt, so we changed to another medication. It's been about 2 weeks, and he now wants to stop taking it. I don't understand why this is coming and going. He's in good form again now, smiling and going to school. He does go to therapy. I just don't get the intermittent anxiety.
Well, he's in therapy, so that's a very good thing. And these questions are best posed to his therapist, who will understand him better. 2 days after starting the Prozac, he seemed better but flat. That's much too early for the Prozac to even have begun to take effect. So that's more of a psychosomatic issue than anything else. The issue of compliance with medical regimes in adolescence is huge. They don't like to take their medication. And those that don't do tend to struggle. Panic attacks that can last days aren't panic attacks. That's a drastic dip in mood. It points to other possible psychiatric difficulties. I think you really need to talk with the therapist if he or she will speak with you, because your son is now 17 and sometimes they won't. We need better management of this. So now he's in a good place right now, smiling and going to school and going to his therapy. He should continue with his therapy. And if he was willing to take the new medication, keep him on it and encourage him. Let him understand that, A, it isn't habit-forming, B, it's not toxic, C, it's just a form of healing energy, if you want to think of it that way. Explain to him that if he had diabetes, he'd be taking insulin. Maybe you can appeal to a 17-year-old's logic a little bit, because at age 17, he is able to think a little bit more logically. I'm concerned that the length of these so-called panic attacks last days with low self-esteem. I don't know exactly what we're talking about here, but that doesn't sound like a panic attack to me, because by definition, panic attacks do not last days. So talk to therapist if you can. Sit down, nice chat with son about medication, why he's been put on it, how it may help him, and the wisdom of continuing on it and being open and honest with his therapist about what's going on in his life. Very important.
John in Ratoth says, now, when John uses this particular phrase, I assume he's speaking symbolically rather than literally. I love listening to David Carey, but normally I think these kids just need a kick up the arse. Until today, with the OCD kid, I thought maybe go to see someone. But now today, David says, give them a kick in the arse. You can't win, says John.
Well,
there you go. That's
such is life, John. Such is life.
That's why you're the rock of sense you are, David. Thanks a million.